Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Oh, yeah. What a nice surprise. This is not something until an hour or so ago I thought or knew was going to happen. Sal Capaccio appearing live in studio.
I figured, you know what? It was one of those deals where I'm mapping out my day. And I know I got to do a story recap. I got to do Facebook Live, which, by the way, it's up, Facebook Live. So check it out. And I said, okay, then I'm going to drive back to Buffalo. I'm going out with Bulldog at 4. I'll be in the car. But I'll be driving literally like past the studio. So why don't I just stop in and say, okay, I'm here. Let's talk. And it's a lot better than doing it over the phone. So glad to see you, buddy.
It's nice. Yeah, it's been a while, right?
It has. We have not seen each other maybe since golf.
Yeah, we played golf at Hickory Stick.
That's right.
That one Monday more than a month ago now.
It seems like that. I mean, it's been a while. It's been a while. What did Eric Woods say one time when he was, I think, during his retirement? I always stuck with me, and he's right. The days are long. The years are short.
That definitely works. So what I haven't done yet, I want to get your thoughts on what I spent the first hour talking about, which go figure is the receiving corps. But it's not, you know, do they have enough? It's more like who's your money on to break through? We'll get to that. But I haven't mentioned to our audience yet. I mean, a lot of them probably know from social media. Practice has been over for many hours now. But there was still a pretty long list of non-participants today, and a couple of new names even during practice. Josh Palmer, I saw, was spending a good amount of time with the athletic training staff. It didn't look like anything real serious, but
he had
still.
a bit of a hitch, I guess, in his giddy up at the end, like walking around. You could tell something was bothering, but he was still on the field even after everybody. Yeah. It didn't seem like anything too concerning, but I don't think he kind of finished there like normal. I guess the big news today for injuries would be. Actually, a couple positives, but let's start with Cole Bishop. Did not practice today, and quad injury. Now, he was on the field standing with his teammates with his leg wrapped, so that's good news. A lot of times if you see the guy, you think, okay, they're getting treatment when they can. If they're not out there, that's more concerning. Okay, there's something going on where they're not even able to come out here. So that was good. We also learned that offensive lineman Alec Anderson had his knee scoped, so he's going to be out. He's considered week to week. And I think that's a pretty significant deal for the offensive line. You're already without Spencer Brown, who is your main right tackle. Now you're without one of your main interior swing guys. You're already using Vandermark and Grable out on the right side and being the swing guys. So these are injuries, and you're already without Cedric Van Pran Granger. And honestly, to me, Alec Anderson has an ability to be the backup center. If Cedric Van Pran Granger doesn't get back to the field at some point, you have to start thinking about Alec Anderson being your backup center. Yeah. So I think that's a big deal. The positive is, though, saw Dawson Knox for the first time today out there in pads, catching passes. That was great. And Tyrell Shavers, after the way it looked, Bulldog.
Yeah, no kidding.
For him to come back, it was great to see Tyrell Shavers out there. Also, Elijah Moore. Not a huge concern when he went out and he missed a couple of days, but they did get three pass catchers back.
Right. Samuel's still out.
Yep.
Brown, you mentioned, still out, but I think today maybe was the first time he was seen doing stuff off to the side, so maybe there's like a ramp-up that's starting to happen there, hopefully.
That's the case, and that's the thought and the hope. Terrell Bernard's been doing stuff on the side for a few days, so that's good. And look, I think we say this every year. We go through it every year. It always seems like I do think there's more this year than normal. I don't know the exact date. I think someone did break it down. Maybe it was Banged Up Bills, I believe, over on X, and broke down the stats. But there's always more injuries than you think there's going to be.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be cautious with anybody with anything. And when you see a name on a list, it's like, oh my God, here we go again. It could be a day, it could be 2 days, it could be longer than that. but they're not going to rush these guys back. The object is to be as healthy as possible week one.
Did we talk about this with you already? I know I brought it up, and it's something, you know, we're I think, hoping that we're going to get Sean McDermott on our show at some point here in the next couple of weeks, and I want to ask him, like, how much it's changed just over his coaching career, maybe even in just, like, the last few years with him even as a head coach. Because it feels to me, and look, every player is in a different situation. Guys at the bottom of the roster might be a little less inclined to raise their hand and say, hey, my calf feels funny or my hamstring. But I wonder if the Bills actually tell the guys, like, look, you don't have to plow through stuff. You're not going to help us if you hurt yourself worse, right? If you got a tweak and you got to miss a day or two, that's way better than making it worse and missing a week or two. And again, with guys that are entrenched as starters, I would think that that's definitely the case, and they would have the comfort of knowing, like, my spot is safe. I'm going to miss a day or two, right? But the guy that's battling for the backup safety role or the whatever, right, might be less inclined, but I bet the Bills want them to handle it the same way anyways.
I think that's right. Look, there's an old saying that says you can't make the club in the tub,
right?
And we know that, and guys know that. If they're injured, they're not out there, they have a tough time making it. But I think the message from the team is not going to be, it's never going to be, get out there, you're going to not make the team. It's, you got to be healthy. We're not going to risk that. Because even if, hey, you don't have enough time, we have to release you, at least you know that they've done everything right in your facility, right by you, right by your trainers. And when they are healthy again, maybe they can help you.
Right.
Maybe they can be someone you bring back, you know, and you want to make sure that they're doing everything they can to get on the field as healthy as possible. But sure, I mean, you got to be able to play through things sometimes. We all know that. This time of year, though, is a time to make sure that you're just making sure that you're good enough to go and be ready at the end of the season. And if these guys have a mentality, I think sometimes you have to protect guys from themselves. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
So that can happen. But I don't think the Bills want to ever rush somebody and have a player come back and say, well, you made me get on the field,
right?
And that's not going to happen.
Right. How do you have any sense at all how, I don't know, worried, concerned, these are synonyms, McDermott, the coaching staff, would be about Bishop? Because it's you know, that's how kind of last summer went. And, you know, we'll see how long he's out for, but I think it's very different this year. Like, they're I think, counting on him. That's his job. If he can stay on the field, and to already be missing time, I wonder if they I know how the fan base can overreact. Anyone can overreact to any injury news, but I wonder even internally, they're like, oh geez, you know, like, already with this guy, come on, really need you.
When you say concern, I wonder, there are two components of, are you asking how concerned they are about him having another injury and being susceptible to injuries?
Yeah.
Or are you saying concerned because he's missing more time?
I guess both things could be concerning. I would expect them definitely to be concerned about him missing time.
Yes.
Right? But I wonder if they, because I always have in my head, when McDermott first got here, you talked about the abilities.
Yes, of
and
course.
Availability.
It is. That's right.
Right.
I think the way I would approach this one is this. His injury last year was something that happened on the football field. He hurt his shoulder. That's going to happen in a game. It's going to happen in practice. I mean, he hurt himself.
Yep.
He was in a sling that day. I don't know how he hurt his quad this year. I think it happened in a football play. He hurt his quad. These aren't soft tissue injuries. These aren't pulled hamstrings. These aren't, you know, pectorals and biceps and things that you can say, oh, my God, what are you not doing? What are you doing wrong? I think these are more of, okay, these are football issues. But it does come into play. He's a little bit smaller safety in a lot of ways, right? Like, can his body hold up for the rigors of the NFL? To me, that would be the concern from that aspect, which is not that he's injury prone, but man, the way he plays
right.
at his size, what are we going to deal with management here?
Right.
How often is he going to be available? So I agree with that. I do think there's got to be a concern of, okay, he's made all this progress and now, is he out and he's missing time again? Like, we got to a point where this was working, and now is he taking two steps back? I would hope that at this point, Cole Bishop's been there over a year. He knows the defense.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting fit in, and he can just kind of come back seamlessly. But Taron Johnson told us last year in Pittsburgh, Bulldog, he said it took him a good 2+ years to really understand the defense. that was like eye opening. Like, yeah. A guy looked back and he goes, I did not really know this defense until year three. Hmm. Crazy.
Yeah, right.
So anytime you miss,
to me,
it's exponential for guys until they get to like their third year.
Right. Sal Capaccio in studio with me here on WGR. I'm the Bulldog. Mike is away for the rest of this week and all of next week as well. Well, you wrote about, speaking of Bishop missing practice today, WGR550.com, the depth, the linebacker depth, at least in Bernard's case, he's been nursing a hamstring injury for a bit here, so there's been a lot of Baylen Spector and Joe Andreessen next to Matt Milano, and then, of course, the safeties. We can get into that a little bit here. Who is Hamlin someone that right now you think has a hold on a backup safety role on this team? And if it's not him, who are the other contenders?
I think DeMar Hamlin is in a position to be a backup safety again in this team. But to me, the numbers still might dictate this overall. And I say it that way because I've always felt he was behind Derek Forrest. To me, DeMar was the fifth guy on the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. That is Taylor Rapp, Cole Bishop. I'm going to count Derek Forrest. And I say five because I count Cam Lewis and Jordan Hancock is like flexible block guys. They can do both. So who are your main four safeties?
Are they both working as like Taron Johnson's backup and backup safety?
Yes, at different times.
Right.
Because Cam just what he does, right?
Right.
I mean, that's what he does.
Yep.
Jordan Hancock, even Bobby Babish told us today, he said he didn't want to get in the weeds. He said without getting into detail, we use him a little bit here and we use him a little bit there. And at some point, mm-hmm. we're going to figure out where it's best, right? And they're going to keep doing on that. So I think you probably look at five total guys. There's not a chair for somebody. Is that DeMar or is that Derek Forrest? I think it's one or the other. Now, you could surprise me. It could be Cam Lewis. It's not going to be Jordan Hancock. Jordan Hancock's going to be on the team. You could surprise me, but man, they love Cam Lewis. And he is, Brandon Bean has referred to him as the best backup nickel in the league. Are you going to release what you think is the best backup nickel in the league? And a guy that's been with you and knows your system after 7 years? No, I don't think so. So I look
maybe at, only if the rookie just shows that he can that he could be the best backup nickel in the league.
That's exactly right. He would have to show that this is my better there than I'm at safety and I'm better than that guy. And then you say, okay, numbers get squeezed, right? You're right. So I think it's Rapp, it's Bishop, it's Cam Lewis, it's Jordan Hancock, however you want to do that. And I think there's one spot for DeMar Hamlin or Derek Forrest. And going into this, I felt Forrest was ahead of DeMar because DeMar was a guy they let become a free agent, let test the waters. They brought him back in a minimum deal. It wasn't like they were itching. And they always talk highly of him. Hey,
but it wasn't a priority.
Wasn't a priority. Derek Forrest, they went out, they signed. Get him from Washington where he played for a Ron Rivera defense. Knows a bit
familiar
of the system.
With the system.
Yep,
right.
No doubt about it. Comes in here and has athletic traits that when you watch him play, he's different than DeMar. What did we talk about all at the last season and going into the offseason? You got to be a little bit more athletic at safety than they were. So I always felt that Derek Forrest was that guy. I'm out there watching practice. I think DeMar has been fine. Mm-hmm. And I think that DeMar is getting enough of a look here to actually wind up winning that job again.
Mm. How about linebacker?
I know people are not going to love what I'm about to say. But you have to get used to the fact that Baylen Spector might be the backup middle linebacker again. It could be Joe Andreessen. I still think Joe Andreessen has just as good, if not better, shot because of Baylen Spector's lack of availability over the last few years. But he has been available this training camp, and he's out there rotating, and he's really good against the run. That's what he does. Joe, I think, still offers more upside maybe against the pass sometimes. I was thinking, short, not carrying guys down the field, right? But today he made a play. Joe Andreessen made a play today. I wrote about, and we can make this our best of because it was a great play.
Good job reminding me.
So there, the first segment I watched, 11-on-11, Baylen Spector was the middle linebacker next to Matt Milano. This is all because obviously Terrell Bernard is out, but he was getting the reps. I'm like, okay, Baylen Spector's getting the reps at starting middle linebacker. And again, they're running run period. He looks good. There's nothing flashy, nothing bad, whatever. Then they go to a red zone period. I see Joe Andreessen there. There's a play where Josh Allen gets the ball. He looks to the flat, and Ty Johnson is running the flat. Looks like he's pretty open. Josh is going to throw it to him. They're in the red zone. And I'm telling you, Joe Andreessen went from his middle. He saw from his middle linebacker spot exactly what was happening. And he made a beeline to Ty. And Josh pulled up. He's like, he saw him 10 yards away. Like, I can't throw that ball. I'm going to get my running back either decapitated or make a big loss on this play. So Josh had to kind of change his direction, his thought, went the other way, goes across the middle to Dalton Kincaid, and by the time he did that, it was off. Timing was off. Mm-hmm. Incompletion. That incompletion was caused by Joe Andreessen.
Right, even
was
though it, he doesn't he get a pass defense credit to do the on play. The play, right?
That was caused by Joe Andreessen. And that, like, to me, that's where I think Joe can really excel and show you. Like, he gets to a spot even in the pass game. He sees what's going on. I think he diagnoses. I saw this in OTAs and minicamp. I talked a lot about it. I thought his pass game coverage in minicamp was great, Joe Andreessen. And if he can do that, he can prove to be a better backup middle linebacker, because now you're talking about three downs for a guy. And I also think just the availability piece of it for a guy than Bale Inspector, who they like. He's been in the system 3 years, but he's on the fourth year of a drafted rookie contract versus the second year of an undrafted contract, right? I mean, mm-hmm. numbers matter here too.
Yeah. Is there room for both of them on the roster, or probably not?
There is. If you squeeze out a guy like Eddie Lefocio, are they going to do that? And they could. Mm-hmm. Maybe Eddie Lefocio doesn't make it. The guy that's actually kind of showing up a little bit here, and by the way, Dorian Williams hasn't practiced still right. in a while, right? So he's also out there. The guy that is getting a lot of these reps, though, Shaq Thompson.
Yeah, right. He's easy to forget about.
I mean, he can play all these spots.
Yeah.
He has position flexibility. He knows Sean McDermott's defense. At the end of the day, linebacker is going to be interesting. Bernard, Milano, Williams. And then who do you choose from? Maybe do you keep two? Do you keep three? Andreessen, Ulofosio, Spector, Shaq Thompson. You also have Keontae Jenkins. But I mean, like, that's probably three guys who are gone. I don't know. I mean, where do you get the numbers from?
Right, yeah. There will be a lot of I was thinking about this same point as it pertains to the defensive line, Sal. Mm-hmm. Now, I know they've got the issue in the
line. Did you want to make that the best of, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Thank
you. Go ahead. I don't want you to forget.
Look at this guy.
See, you got a lot on your plate today.
Well, when I'm by myself, I forget all this stuff. Yeah, best of training camp brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Get a Northtown engine shield, engine protection warranty on new and used vehicles. Thank you for the reminder there.
You got it.
You've got Hoyt and Ogunjobi, who are going to have the suspension, since they won't count against the 53 when the cutdown comes. So there is flexibility there. But, man, I'm just looking at the names and the draft stock
I know.
On the defensive line, not just at edge. There's just so many guys here. Like, Landon Jackson is a player that I was excited about when they drafted him, liked his skill set, like his size. Is he running like third team reps basically? Like, he can't even crack the, like, I wonder, like, I think he's a third round pick. He's on the team, right?
Right.
But maybe he's an inactive guy when we get right yep. down to it. And I mean, that's already, again, third string I'm talking about. There's just a lot of bodies there with these new guys, with Sanders being a second round pick and Dwayne Carter, I think, you know, a third round pick that from last year. You've got the Deion Walker, a fourth round pick from this year. There's just a lot of dudes.
Six guys at edge and six guys at tackle, I think, if you just do it off the cuff, are making the team. But you can't have six and six. You can, I guess. Who's going to keep 12 defensive linemen? I don't think they're going to do that.
Oh, don't they usually keep like 10?
Yes, 10. It's the most. 9 or 10, generally, yeah. Right? One who might be a flex and maybe 10. So let's just say it's 10. Okay, they can do that now because Hoyt and Ogunjobi are suspended for six games. So at the end of the day, you could still do Rousseau, Bosa, Epinesa, Solomon Jackson. That's your five. Oliver Jones, Carter, Sanders, Walker. That's your five. Great. But yeah, what are you talking about? Who's getting on the field? Who's getting jerseys? Who's not? I think Landon Jackson tough at this point, considering the fact that, oh, by the way, Javon Solomon's sneakily putting together a nice little camp.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, he looks like a guy that might be able to help you on third down.
Yeah. I wonder, when you start crunching those numbers and consider draft stock, like, could a guy like Epinesa be in trouble?
I wonder if you could get something for a guy like that. Like you did with a Darryl Bam Johnston, right?
Right.
A couple of years ago.
Right.
Could he be in trouble? Sure. I think Brandon Bean has always shown a willingness to trade something instead of just letting it go. And if you can get a late round asset, you could do that. I think that's a guy that could be, hey, you know what? If we can get something for him, maybe we do. It's a tough call. I don't know where all these guys fit. I mean, sometimes injuries do dictate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They also have the, IR designated to return, they can use, remember, new rule now, as of last year, on cutdown day, they can put two guys on IR designated to return who don't have to make the 53, and you can bring them back later. That you never had to do that before. Now you get two guys. Someone has a minor injury. One of these guys has a minor injury.
Right.
You wait till cutdown day. He goes on IR to return. Now solves your numbers issue for at least several weeks and until at least Hoyt and Okungbo come back, and then you have to figure that out again.
Right.
Right? The other guy that could wind up being an IR to return candidate on that day is Max Harrison, by the way. Like, if Max Harrison doesn't practice between now and, you know, Labor Day, I think he's certainly an IR to return candidate. Then you give him more time. You don't put any pressure for him to be on the field.
Yep.
You don't use up a roster spot on him, and he gets to return this year.
And Tre'Davious White has kind of given you the kind of performance that might make you feel like that's okay to do. Like, that, I think, is gone. We talked about this early in the week already. I think he's maybe one of the stories of camp so far, isn't he?
Tre'Davious 100%. White. I wonder if he's a story on Hard Knocks because of his comeback and everything, right? I don't know what they're going to show Tuesday
night.
But I'm thinking, is Tre'Davious White a guy that, you know, I mean, they talk about the comeback of Tre'Davious White, and then maybe Hard Knocks goes into the story and see what happens with Max Harrison. This all kind of comes together, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think this becomes a story. But I also think part of the reason would be Jamarcus Ingram, Dane Jackson, and Dorian Strong. Like, you don't have to rush Max. We all want to see Max Harrison play. We all want to see the explosiveness, the speed. I don't think the Bills feel, going back to our conversation earlier, they have to get him on the field as soon as possible right now.
Before you go, because I thought we'd spend more time on this, the Twitter poll, I talked about it a lot the first hour while you were on the way in here. Like, who's the most likely candidate? If you had to put money on a receiver, aside from Shakir, a pass catcher, doesn't have to just be a receiver. Kincaid and Knox should count for this too. To elevate to say like 60 catches, 6 to 10 touchdowns, who would you bet on?
Because of the touchdowns, I'm going to go Keon Coleman. I thought about Dalton Kincaid. If it was just maybe that and like higher catches, like I would go Dalton Kincaid. I think Dalton Kincaid can be the guy that they really kind of target more and gets more catches.
He did catch 73 as a rookie, right?
He did. And he had 75 targets last year, even as he was second on the team in targets last year. Dalton Kincaid was behind Khalil Shakir. But I think because you're talking about also touchdowns, Keon Coleman had 4 touchdowns last year in 13 games.
Right.
He had 4 touchdowns and only 29 catches. He's catching a touchdown, you know, every 7 catches, basically, a little bit more. So I think that he, to me, and I do think that he could elevate and be that guy. He had another nice day today, another nice couple of catches today.
Yep.
There was one that the Bills put on their own social media feed, by the way, if you haven't seen it. And I just think the rapport with Allen is starting to come. It really looks good.
Mm-hmm.
I think Josh is understanding and Keon's understanding, like, where he wins is just different than a lot of where other guys win. And that's where the ball seems to be going to wind up winning in those spots. And I think Keon has an ability to be a guy who can score touchdowns in the red zone, but also really increases volume.
I hate to end on a hard question to answer, but is there any discernible difference in Coleman? I mean, like, do his biceps look bigger? But, like, is he running routes more crisply? Is there a difference from last year to this year that you can discern watching him?
When I watch him sometimes, I think he's more, purposeful. What's the word I'm looking for? Intentional. He's more intentional in his routes. It's not just, I'm going to beat this guy with my athletic ability. It's, I know I have to break down a little bit more.
Right.
I posted a video second day of camp, of Keon catching a ball on an in-cut, and as soon as he caught it, Bulldog, he put his foot down and he went straight up the field. And I said, you know, that's an example. It's not the route to get there. It's after he caught the ball. He knew exactly, I got to put my foot down, I got to get up the field. I'm not blowing by these guys. I'm not staying on my path and running. But I watch him. He seems like, I think the best way I'd say is he seems like he's settled down running routes. And that's a good thing for him.
Right.
He's not trying to overdo it. He's not trying to overcomplicate it. He's not trying to beat you in a way he can't beat you.
Right.
It's I got to understand the nuance here.
Well, intentional was the right word there.
I think he's more intentional of what he's doing.
Yeah. Oh, I like it. A good answer for, I think, a hard question.
I appreciate it. And I don't, I mean, we'll see if it translates, but I do think that was something he worked on. And I think that that's something that's starting to show now.
All right. Nice of you to stop in today.
Thanks,
buddy.
Enjoyed
seeing you. We'll do a couple hours together tomorrow, right?
We will. I'll be down at the stadium. Then the Bills will be down at the return of the Blue and Red. Hope to see people down there. And, shout out to the bullpen. They're all saying hi here, so hi.
All right, there you go. There's Sal Capaccio in studio. Coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher University, where Sal was earlier today, is brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys. And driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. We'll take a timeout, sort of reload the question I just asked Sal that we ended with. Who's a pass catcher that you're looking to elevate, that you would bet on elevating for the Bills in 2025? 803-0550 is the number. Mike is away along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog, and this is WGR.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
We've dealt with it over the years. I mean, I can think back to when I was as a linebacker coach with TB, right? TB missed the entire preseason. We had a plan in place, and we certainly have walkthroughs. We have things that he can do during practice and those type of things when he's available to be able to do those things, you know, but it's hard to simulate game speed. You can't simulate the physicality of the NFL, so certainly going to be an adjustment period there, but we'll have a plan, and it'll be well thought out and be rocking and rolling.
That is Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babich. Met with the media today. He was recently a guest on the morning show as well. They've been out there whenever the Bills are practicing in the morning show is there. So that means they won't be there tomorrow because the Bills are practicing in the evening at the stadium. Running out of mind tomorrow, we'll see. I mean, Sal will be with me from 3 to 5, and then he's got to go get involved in covering the practice. And I think they do like a bit of a sort of practice rehearsal broadcast, too, although I don't think Eric Wood will be there. But Brownie will be in the booth, and Sal will be down on the sidelines, and they'll just do some dry run stuff. That won't be on the air or anything. But anyway, Sal's got responsibilities, so he'll be with me for 2 hours tomorrow. and... Excuse me. So the morning show will be here. Instead, I wonder, I have a mind tomorrow to maybe for the first time, it won't be the first time. I think we've already done it, and it definitely will not be the last time, sort of start unpacking stadium memories. Yeah, it seems very cumbersome on the radio to rank events, games, moments. You know, it's hard to compile votes or whatever, but tomorrow it's possible. Like there are probably fans that are going to this practice tomorrow that can't afford or just can't get their hands on game tickets. Like tomorrow could be some fans' last time in the stadium. I know already, right? There's only one preseason game. Those tickets are a little easier to get, of course, than the regular season tickets. So I'm thinking about the stadium for tomorrow. Just a little bit of a preview, but we've got Sal from 3 to 5. Not that he can't partake in that conversation, but Sam Panionovich is our guest at 3:30 tomorrow, and then I'll have Aaron Quinn from Cover 1 with me tomorrow at 5 o'clock. But the stadium is kind of on my radar. But before it gets away from me, what Babich was saying there, it's a good reminder he just gave me about Terrell Bernard from his second year with the team, right? He's a third-round drafted rookie backing up Tremaine Edmonds. Edmonds leaves as a free agent, and Bernard is like, you're going to camp. He's the favorite to replace him, but he missed, like Babich said there, he missed almost all of camp. And I think out here we were like, is this going to be okay? A third round, second year guy, he's missing a lot of practice, missing a lot of camp. And Bernard just like stepped in and has been, I mean, he's not an all pro or anything, but he's certainly been a fine middle linebacker for this team. Someone who I think you really miss when he's not there. And the reason I say it's a good reminder is because similarly, I mean, it's not a big free agent departure that the Bills have suffered here. But, you know, we all know Hyde and Poyer have been gone now, and Hamlin held down a job last year. Taylor Rapp is entrenched as a starter at one of those spots. But Bishop is going into his second year, had an uneven rookie year, largely because of missing a lot of camp and missing a lot of reps, and he's hurt now. And we don't know how seriously, but he missed time today. What do we hear? Is it a quad strain, calf strain? I can't remember which. I think quad. Either way, hopefully minor, but maybe he's someone who follows the Terrell Bernard path to being a starter, even if time is missed. Not ideal. Obviously, you'd like to have the guy there participating, but I think it would take a lot for him to not win. I think he'd have to be hurt like to the point where he can't be ready for opening day. I think even if he were to miss a lot of camp, I really wonder. My guess might be that he still would find his way, much like Bernard did, into the opening day lineup back there. It's a second-round pick. The athletic traits are, I think, really positive with Bishop, and I think they're going to want to find their way to him being on the field. Of course, he has to be healthy enough to do it. But as much as, you know, I was pressing Sal there, like, how worried might they be? Because, you know, he did miss time last year. Do you start worrying that a guy is just not going to be available on a regular enough basis for you to trust him as a starter in that role? And I wonder, like, Bernard's a good lesson in that from what Babich just said, because we were in the same position with him 2 years ago. He's not here, not practicing. Geez, I don't know. Should we be worried? What's the depth like beyond him? And opening day comes and he's there. And he's been pretty much a very reliable starting player for the Bills. I mean, he has missed his share of time for sure. But I wonder if Bishop can kind of follow that same path, because I do think, while I think it's fair to say Hamlin, do I want to use the word fine? do we have a trademark on fine and what it really means? It's like, yeah, fine. How was dinner? Fine. I ate it. You know, it didn't taste bad, but, you know, I would have liked maybe 10 other things instead. It was fine. That's sort of the connotation that fine has taken over here. And Hamlin, this come out bad, but he was fine last year, right? Fine. But fine is not excelling. Fine is not making big plays and being a difference maker. Fine is like, you know, hey, I'm not hurting you. We're getting by. This is fine. I think you want to be better than that at as many positions as you can be. I mean, the reality is you're going to have to live with sort of base level, replacement level play, I think, in pockets of your roster. This is not realistic, I think, to have guys that are, you know, top tier all over the field. I mean, sure, like the Eagles might look like the closest to that last year with the way they finished the season. But even them, I'm sure there's guys there that are just sort of, I don't know, placeholder type guys that are just, we don't have a better idea right now kind of thing. And I feel like Bishop provides some opportunity and maybe even some optimism to get back to what Hyde and Poyer, boy, that's a high bar to set. I'm going to reel that back in a little bit. But I just need some impact. I'm looking for plays, right? Not just, well, better than fine. That's it. Sorry. Do we understand our definition, the show's definition of fine? I think Hamlin's fine. I want to be better than that. I think Bishop represents an opportunity to have that on your team, and I hope that it comes to fruition. This is, you know, I don't want to exaggerate. It's not like I'm invested in the player, but you know how it is. You talk on the radio 20 hours a week or more during the season. It's more. And like, they make that pick. I like this player. I remember last summer sort of clamoring for him to replace Hamlin right away. Like, can he get on the field? And Sal was always like, they're going to want a guy that, you know, they trust, that knows the defense. There's a lot that goes into it. And like he said earlier, Sal said earlier, Taron Johnson told him, it took me 3 years to understand everything that's going on here. So I was probably rushing it with Bishop, but that's a player that I loved the pick, and I really want to see it come through for them. So I hope that that can happen, because I think they can be better than they were back there last year. And he's really the change. He's the agent of change back there, because Rapp is there. You know, the backups, I think, are, if it ends up being Hamlin or Forrest or whatever, relatively interchangeable. Bishop, to me, is an opportunity to get back to getting impact from that position. And
are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm hoping that does end up happening. 803-0550 is the phone number if you're out there and want to get involved in the show. Anything that we've talked about today, really anything on the Bills, is fair game. I was focused on receivers to start today, and we can kind of reload that and jumpstart that if you want. Who would you bet on to break through from the Bills' pass catchers? It's not limited to just receivers. Kincaid certainly figures into this. You can suggest Knox if you want. But I posted a poll with some threshold statistical markers, 60 catches, 6 to 10 TDs. These are not explosive numbers. These are not number one receiver numbers. But keep in mind, this team last year had quite a gap from their leading pass catcher, Shakir, with 76, to 44 from Kincaid. So a 60 reception guy is probably your second leading receiver if Shakir, you know, keeps pace with what he's been doing, or maybe even exceeds what he did last year, which I think is certainly possible. I think last year is a good baseline for him. I don't know that there's a lot more of a ceiling there. Maybe there is, but somebody behind him to supplement this passing game would be really, really nice. The poll included Palmer, the new free agent addition, Coleman, the second round pick from last year, first pick of the second round going into year two, and Dalton Kincaid now going into year three off of kind of an injury marred second season. I would understand if you want to pick Kincaid. He did have 73 catches as a rookie. So he's got that, and he had a lot of targets last year. They just were not, they were weirdly unsuccessful targeting him last year. Allen was. So maybe his health played into that. Anyway, we spent some time on that today. Happy to revisit, as always, at 803-0550. Mike is away today, along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog. Thanks for listening to WGR.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.